May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I wonder if you've ever met somebody who jolted you out of your comfort zone. One day I met Maya in a kitchen in Merseyside. She was seeking asylum in this country. Her husband had treated her awfully, and she bore the scars on her body. She had suffered at his hands for many, many years, but she finally fled her home, Iran, when he tried to hurt her daughter. She took her little girl in the middle of the night and travelled far away, eventually coming to the UK. But the lawyer in this country told her he would only help her application for refugee status in exchange for sex. She told me her story over time, as we stood side by side preparing soups and stews for other asylum seekers and refugees. We are, two very different women. But as we chopped onions together, we both had tears streaming down our cheeks. Maya's story jolted me out of my comfort zone. Sadly, my understanding of asylum seekers to that point had been influenced only by negative press stories, desired to dehumanize and to put fear into our hearts. But before me stood Maya, not a headline, a flesh and blood woman who had suffered so much, all the while that she was simply trying to do her best for her young child. In those moments, I became so conscious of my privilege. I was safe in my home. I was a citizen. I could access the help I needed. Not everyone has these privileges, not even in this country. Maya systematically faced exclusion, even within the system that was to try and help her. The lepers in this story were on the edge of society too. Literally, they're living on the edge between Samaria and Galilee. They're in no man's land, a place where only those who are similarly disfigured have themselves a company. Everyone else gives them a wide berth for fear of contamination. But they have a dream. They have a dream that one day they will be included, reconciled to their families and their communities. A dream where they will one day belong. I wonder how many people have shared this dream, who still dream this dream today. These men dared to hope that Jesus would heal them. And yet, they still do not dare draw close. They know the way that others think about them. They're used to rejection. And they keep their distance while they approach him. But Jesus does not reject them in the way that they had come to expect. He sees them as people created to love and to be loved by God. And he heals the 10 men, giving them the inclusion that they have long dreamed after. But only one says, "Thank you." A man who is not only a leper, but a despised Samaritan. Someone who, even when healed from their leprosy, would still face exclusion because of his race. I wonder whether you've ever experienced exclusion. There are countless ways that other people can make you feel like you don't belong. You might have the wrong upbringing, the wrong accent, be the wrong race, have the wrong body. And perhaps you've become so worn down by the harsh words that have been spoken over you that you've dared to believe them. Perhaps you know what it's like to feel persistent shame that binds us and keeps us apart from one another. Perhaps you even feel like that here in church this morning. But there is good news. Jesus has already turned towards us. He has already poured out his love and grace towards us in his life and death and resurrection. And he longs for us to be in relationship with him and know the deep belonging that comes with healing. On the cross, Jesus is himself made a victim of exclusion. He is exposed for all who pass by to mock and reject him. In order to diffuse the tensions at the time, he's made a scapegoat in his death. He is a victim of violence. Jesus' experience of exclusion means that he can identify with us at our point of deepest pain and isolation. But not only does Christ identify with our exclusion, on the cross, he makes it the place where we are included. The lepers had hoped that Christ would heal them, but their experience of rejection taught them to keep their distance. But through his blood shed on the cross, Christ has brought us full access to God. We need not stand far off, because God in Christ has already come close to us. We don't need to strive to convince God of our merits. We don't need to enter into a competition to prove ourselves against one another. God's already chosen us and done all that is needed to save us from the sins that dehumanize us. He has said, resoundingly and emphatically, "You belong." In the epistle reading, the writer says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved by him, a worker who has no need to be ashamed." Each of us are approved by God. We have no need to be ashamed. We can approach God with boldness, trusting that God will meet us at our point of deepest need, and God will not reject us. And so our job is to recognize with thanks what has already been given to us. We see with the lepers that being grateful is not a precondition to being healed by Jesus. All the lepers find themselves of new skin and a new start. But to the one who comes back, Jesus says, "Your faith has made you well." The one who says thank you receives an even deeper healing as he recognizes the reconciliation that has taken place between himself and God. Saying thank you is a pathway to healing. This morning we gather to celebrate the Eucharist, or Holy Communion. The very word Eucharist is taken from the Greek word eucharisteo, which means to give thanks. And so we will be saying thank you multiple times this morning. We will remember that it is right and just to give thanks and praise to God. We'll remember how Jesus said thank you for the bread and the wine he shared with his friends at the Last Supper. And we'll remember too how we are included in this story. Towards the end of the Eucharistic prayer, I'll pray on behalf of all of us, thank you for counting us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. God has given us dignity. God invites us into the divine life so that we may stand in the presence of God and serve him. Our duty as Christians is to invite others to encounter this love and this welcome. After communion, we'll pray, keep us firm in the hope you've set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. In a world where people feel increasingly excluded, marginalized, and thrown on the scrap heap, we have good news to tell them about the freedom, the welcome, and the healing of Christ's love. I wonder who you think of when you think of those today who are on the edge, who need to hear Christ's words of belonging. As you journey forwards to the altar today, may I invite you to use that time prayerfully. As you take each step, use it as a reminder to give thanks to God who has given us so many blessings. And then after you've received the bread or the wine or the blessing, I invite you to use that time as you walk back to your seats to ask God to show you how you can reach out God's healing love to people who are on the edge. May we find that our faith has made us well as we learn more about what it means to truly belong to God's family. For we have no need to be ashamed, since in Christ we are approved by God. Thank you, Lord, for counting us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. Amen.